Will AI take over the world or just make our lives easier? If you've been with us all season, you already know that is a silly question. Artificial intelligence is both amazing and overhyped. Humanity is safe for a few decades or centuries still. However, what can we really expect from AI in the years ahead? To get a clearer picture of that, we've invited Katya Grace as our guest this episode. Katya runs AI Impacts, an initiative that tries to shed light on decision-relevant questions about the future of artificial intelligence. She was the lead author on a 2017 paper entitled, When Will AI Exceed Human Performance? Evidence from AI Experts. Today we're going to speak with Katya and then break down the conclusions she and her authors drew. My name is Dirk Niemeyer, a social futurist interested in systems that will make the quality of our lives better. My co-host is Jonathan Follett, a writer, composer, and emerging tech researcher. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 12 of Creative Next, a show about future-proofing creatives in a world of AI automation. Let's get started. The premise of this show is that AI automation is coming, and it's going to impact creative workers. The first season, which we're delighted to be wrapping up with Katya, has been about learning the basics so we can take a deep dive into different creative jobs and careers. We started by thinking about the relationship between humanity and technology. In between, we've gotten smarter about specific AI-related things like machine learning, deep learning, and data science, as well as related emerging smartware technologies. We explored how AI changed chess, beat poker, and provided an analytical framework to learn about how AI achieves some of its amazing things. Then we dive deep into learning about, well, learning, going from philosophy to high school to university to informal and lifelong learning. A few themes have threaded through our first season. One is that while technology is magical and powerful, truly making change requires a plan and environment for success. Thousands of organizations use learning management systems, but almost none of them are achieving the success of organizations like Innovations and Minerva Schools. The future of AI automation is about strategy and execution every bit as much as it is about machine learning and data science. Next, specifically in learning, all five of our guests who focused on learning innovation cited the one-to-one human mentor as an essential part of an ideal educational framework, either formal or informal. Finally, we learned that even when AI automation completely replaces the need for a human, such as in its conquest of strategy games like chess and poker, the world doesn't end and the human element doesn't disappear. Things are different. Largely better, in some ways worse, but life in fact goes on. Humans keep doing our thing, and the machines keep getting better and better and better. While these lessons capture themes common to multiple guests, we learned so much this season and are incredibly thankful to all of our guests so far. Happily, we still have one more to come. So it is that we wrap up with researcher Katya Grace, who runs the AI Impacts Project. After sharing our interview, we're going to take a close look at her paper, When Will AI Exceed Human Performance? Evidence from AI Experts, to frame up Season 2 and beyond of Creative Next. The research from her and her team provides a compelling snapshot, one that is now almost 2 years old, offering the opportunity to consider how some of the predictions are stacking up already. Let's start learning about the future, first by understanding better what Katya and AI Impacts are thinking about.
AI Impacts is a research organization for basically figuring out what's going to happen in the future with AI. So sort of forecasting broadly defined, but both like when are various things going to happen and what will the impacts on society be. And we also maintain a sort of online encyclopedia of what do we know about these topics. So for instance, we have a page about like how quickly is hardware progress going and another page about like how much hardware is equivalent to the human brain in some sense, and that sort of thing, for people who are trying to make up their minds about these things to look at. And what are the next big problems? One big question at the moment is, you could imagine sort of AI progress happening in an incremental way, where like every year there's like slightly better AI than previously, or you could imagine that at some point we have some amazing insight that that takes someone to having like very good AI quite suddenly. Often people expect the latter one to happen and sort of plan accordingly. And we are interested in how likely it is to go either of those ways. The reasons you might think that it would go incrementally are basically that technologies generally have incremental progress as far as we can tell. And so if there wasn't much reason to think that AI would be different, or in particular, if there wasn't much reason to think it would be different, like at the point that we get AGI or something, then you might just expect it to be incremental. And then there are various arguments kicking around for expecting there to be like sudden progress. And so we're both looking at the historical technologies to check that really incremental progress is quite common, and also sort of looking into these different arguments for expecting there to be surprising progress with AI in particular.
Technology often advances slowly, then quickly when a key new advance is realized. But the slow is not often as slow as it seems, and the quick isn't as quick as we think either. So regardless of how artificial intelligence evolves, we should expect the manifestation of it to be less extreme than we imagine. Now, let's have a short refresher about what is enabling this surge in AI automation to be possible.
The basic ideas behind it are quite old, sort of many decades old. In order to sort of get value from it, you need a lot of hardware. You might be familiar with Moore's Law, the phenomenon where hardware becomes maybe an order of magnitude cheaper every recently, maybe 10 years, but in the past, every 4 years or something. So if you just wait for a bunch of decades, you can afford to use lots of hardware. So another thing that people will point to is data, where the digitization of much of our lives recently means there's a lot more data for various things. And deep learning lets you use lots of hardware and data to get good results. I think there have been good insights as well. I think the story that I've heard, at least, is the availability of hardware has sort of allowed the science to progress there.
This show explicitly focuses on AI automation, yet the idea of automation as a core to creative work remains either unknown or uncomfortable to most. In Katya's work as an AI researcher, though, the model of automation as a ubiquitous force, not just something relegated to factory floor robots, is clear.
Part of the reason to suspect that deep learning will automate knowledge work is we think that probably something will automate knowledge work eventually. We know that humans can do knowledge work, so probably it's possible to get machines to do it as well, unless you think that humans sort of have some magic spark of consciousness that is needed for it that we'll never be able to automate. But I think many people suspect that's not the case. So the question is, like, what technology will let us do this? And a reason to suspect that deep learning might be it is, I guess, we've recently seen a lot of progress in automating some things that are part of normal human functioning that we hadn't previously been able to do, that are key to most work, for instance, like recognizing and dealing with images and speech and writing. And so knowledge work involves those things as well as maybe other thinking that we haven't worked out how to do. But we've seen deep learning do some things that seem fairly intellectual, for instance, playing various games quite well. You might think that the kind of technology that lets us play Go well wouldn't be that far off what we need for being able to play some jobs well that are relatively straightforward intellectual jobs. And I suppose some people think that it might be this sort of technology might take us all the way to having artificial general intelligence that can do basically everything humans can do, but that's sort of more controversial. And as far as what kinds of things might be automated soon, I haven't looked into this directly, but I and some collaborators ran a big survey of machine learning researchers and asked them what they thought about that. And the median person thought that retail assistants would be automated in 10 to 20 years, and surgeons, they thought 30 to 50 years, and AI researchers themselves, they thought like much more than 50 years, or some of them thought 50 years to much longer. But some things that they thought might happen within the next 10 years were like AI being able to write pop songs or high school essays or sort of carry out the entire job of a telephone banking operator, or at least like the central parts where you talk on the phone, and doing human level translation of written language. So these things are sort of quite close to some jobs that exist.
Going back to the idea of robots, automation software technology is moving much faster than consumer-grade robotics technology. Yes, sure, industrial robots are incredible, but they thrive in an environment where human interactions and needs are obliterated. They're often hulking, inhuman brutes, purpose-built to do specific tasks. Neither in form, function, or composure do they integrate into an environment with other people. And as software automation gallops forward, even the most bleeding-edge robots barely pass the requirement of integrating into a healthy and functional human ecosystem. What are the consequences of this dynamic?
My impression is that robotics at the moment is fairly hard and expensive, so we haven't sort of seen a proliferation of robots. But I guess like advanced AI is also pretty hard and expensive at the moment, so it's pretty unclear how they'll keep pace or what exactly keeping pace means. But I do think which order they happen might cause different things to happen in the world. Like, for instance, if we have quite good AI and not very good robotics, we might try to push more tasks into virtual places where you don't need to deal with the real world. And then maybe in the long run, even when we have robotics, all of those things will be done virtually. Whereas maybe if we got robotics earlier, we would stick with doing things in the real world more. But this is pretty speculative, and I haven't actually looked into it a lot.
Katya has her finger on something quite important here. The development speed, or lack thereof, of robotics will impact the commercialization and manifestations of mixed realities. That is, when physicality is required in automation, at least from today's vantage point, robots may seem superior to us than mixed realities. Yet, if they continue to be problematic in design, humanity, or even cost, then mixed reality technology steps in to provide the solutions. By 2030, we will be ensconced in a world where the everyday use of either or both consumer robots or mixed realities will be essential to the automated ways in which we leverage digital technology. Given that her paper is predicting timeframes for when AI eclipses human performance in a number of areas, we wanted to get Katya's opinion on some specific things that weren't necessarily included, but are of interest to us here at Creative Next. We started with research science.
I think there are likely to be more tools for recognizing patterns in things and allowing people to better see which hypotheses to test, that sort of thing. I don't have a good sense of when such things will happen, but that's the kind of thing I would expect to come out of this.
Yeah, that makes sense and seems pretty fundamental. How about writing?
You might imagine there being tools for helping to write better that are not really entirely automating the process. Or you could imagine something that just like does journalism for you. I expect there to be better tools for it relatively soon. I mean, you can imagine something that sort of pays attention to what you're writing and tells you how to write it better or points out problems with it. Like at the moment, you have to actually, you know, write to a colleague or something and get them to read things. At least when I write things, that's often how it goes. And you can imagine much better automated tools for that. As far as writing things fully, I guess I've seen, I think, fairly basic articles written fully, but sort of in order to write a good article, you need to understand the world to some extent to understand what you're talking about, the relevance of this topic with relation to. And so sort of understanding the world well enough to sort of know who you're writing to and what you're talking about is perhaps, as we say, AGI complete, which means you don't really have it until you basically have AI that is as good as humans at everything. Like, you could imagine something that has a system that has some sort of basic understanding of context, but maybe lacks some other mental skills. Our mental skills are pretty modular, and I think that's unclear. But I think people often think of sort of understanding things as well as humans do as a big part of being at human level. I guess, again, in order to sort of do it well enough that... like the writer has a coherent picture of the world and a message or goal that they're trying to convey and an idea of the audience they're trying to convey it to, it seems sort of close to AGI complete. But I expect maybe earlier for AI to be able to like produce written words that are like interesting in some way or amusing, you know, people find worth reading.
Context. The limits she identifies around machines independently writing relate to their inability to bring a broad understanding of the world to bear on the things that they write. We're going to find context as the Achilles heel for AI and should continue to be beyond the upcoming decade, a crucial chalk line that helps guide what AI will and will not be able to do. Katya also equates the ability to have context with being AGI complete, meaning that there is an artificial general intelligence that eclipses human capacity. This goes down the path of science fiction, and the machines will take over the world narratives. While this through line is indeed visible, it is a mistake to yoke context and AGI too closely. Having broad knowledge is one thing. Having the ability to act broadly is another thing entirely. What about pop music?
In the survey, one of the things that was quite early that I thought was interesting was we asked when AI would be able to basically write a new Taylor Swift song as well as Taylor Swift can. A dedicated Taylor Swift fan would not be able to tell the difference between this new song and one that she wrote and performed. The people put that about 10 years out. To really properly be a songwriter, you need to sort of understand the words that you're saying. And it's possible these machine learning researchers just didn't have a a great view of Taylor Swift, but they thought that this would be automatable soon.
All jokes about the substance of Taylor Swift songs aside, music specifically and art in general are right in the crosshairs of today's AI automation, which we'll really get into during season 3. What about software engineering?
I don't know much about the details of what software engineering involves. I know that AI researchers think that AI research won't be automatable for a really long time, which seems maybe similar in the kinds of details. I suppose I've heard that there are like the tools for doing software engineering are already improving based on AI, which I would expect. But yeah, I really don't know a lot about this one.
One trend we've seen in our research is the people in one domain doing incredible things with AI are skeptical that AI could do similarly marvelous things in some other domain with which they are not involved or knowledgeable. It is a weird blind spot. The other thing, however, is people not applying AI in their own area of success think it will take much longer for AI to conquer their kind of work than it likely will. How about software design?
I come from a community of philosophers, less familiar with exactly what software engineers and designers do, but to the extent designing is about the interface between the machine and people and that sort of thing, that seems to be very important. And I guess that's the sort of thing that the philosophers think about. If we build machines basically like this, what will actually happen in the world and how can people use them to get what they want and that sort of thing. I guess I'm pretty involved with the AI safety community, which is about that kind of thing.
Katya's background as a philosopher is instructive. In fact, philosophers are having a moment as ethics and artificial intelligence have trended to become first-order problems. It's important to remember that Katya brings that lens, one of the academic who is trained as a thinker and metaphysical problem solver, as opposed to the engineering training and practice of many of our guests this season. How about management or leadership inside a company? Will AI automate that?
It seems unlikely to be entirely automated anytime soon because it involves interfacing with and understanding so many different things, you know, all the different things that are going on in an organization and different people and so on. My impression is that it's generally easier to automate things that are a whole bunch of something similar. But as far as tools go, previously read something about a thing where they put sensors on people for weeks at a time and could figure out from the sensors like what the sort of social network was within the organization and how people were feeling and how these things interacted with each other and so on. And you could imagine like without having to put sensors on people, but just interpreting the data that that is easy to collect, like maybe from everyone's work emails or that sort of thing, with the ability to interpret things well, you could maybe figure out when tensions are rising or there's something that a manager needs to see to. And I guess I think we don't have tools like that yet, but I could imagine there being tools like that based on, you know, machine learning to read the things. And I guess in general, it seems like there's space for tools to help with management that involve like reading messy human systems.
The technology Katya shares here has an eerie sort of Big Brother feel to it. It is management, technically, but managing by data, not humanity. We need to hope that our better angels lead us to applications that augment the work of the direct manager, as opposed to merely serve as leverage for the faceless conglomerate. While we know that artificial general intelligence is decades away and not practically germane to things you and I worry about in our daily lives, let's hear a little more about some of the challenges inhibiting the development of such a breakthrough.
I think at this point it's pretty unclear, but a big consideration is how much hardware you're going to need for it. So I think recently the biggest headline results in AI have been using increasingly huge amounts of hardware. If AGI results from that sort of thing, like using even bigger piles of hardware, then it sort of has to be at a place that can afford to spend a lot of money on huge piles of hardware. Maybe a big company or like a big government project or something like that. But I think it's unclear whether that is what will happen, that you will need a lot of hardware. Another thing is it's not clear to what extent it is developed in one place at all. Like if it's basically one idea, maybe it happens in one place, but the development of deep learning, for instance, didn't sort of happen in one company or something. It happened across industry and academia. And so if sort of getting to AGI involves lots of little parts being done in different places, potentially, that there might not be a straightforward answer to this.
What are some risks or unintended consequences with advanced development of AI?
The basic thought is it might be straightforward to make technology that can basically do a lot of things and perhaps like make very high quality decisions, like sort of play games really well, play games in the real world very well, like make a lot of money or something. That's quite easy, and we haven't figured out exactly how to make them do exactly what we want. We might end up with a giant mess. Problems a bit like this with current companies or something. If you can like work out how to set up a company that makes money by producing stuff, but you haven't figured out how to make it care about like all of human values that you care about, like maybe whether the rivers are polluted or something, then you will tend to end up with polluted rivers. Similarly, if you make machines that are very good at optimizing for something and don't really know what you care about, then like without any malice, they will end up destroying the things that you cared about. And so that's the kind of framing, I guess.
Those sound like the same sort of risks and consequences that the Industrial Revolution produced. Of course, even though actual change is happening far slower than it should, or we may like, there's an evolution of mindset and intention. Eventually, policy will catch up to that, and we will see nations, corporations, and eventually individuals writ large avoiding the sort of destructive, polluting behaviors brought to us by industrialization and capitalism. Doing things in a more holistically correct way will be baked into the basic way things are done. The river pollution of today will look in the future like the child labor abuses of our past. So I am optimistic, particularly in the concrete and specific example like polluting rivers. We will generally do well when we eventually make AIs that are doing things with that sort of potential consequence. So how smart does Katya think machines could get, and how would that compare to human intelligence?
I guess the question is, are humans as intelligent as a thing can be? And reasons to suspect not are, it seems like the human brain is fairly constrained by the need for it to fit in a human head and for mothers to be able to give birth to their children, like that sort of thing biologically. And I guess like how much energy does it use? And these days, it doesn't matter that much to us if our brain uses a lot of energy. We'd be happy to have an extra 100 IQ points if we had to eat more. But historically, those things were a big problem. It looks like there are biological constraints on our brains that mean they couldn't be a lot more impressive, even if there were, in theory, greater heights of intelligence to have. Also, looking at the human population, it seems like the average human seems like you can be a lot smarter than the average human, because occasionally we see very smart humans. And so even having machines that were like somewhat smarter than the smartest humans we've ever had would perhaps make a big difference to the world.
Thanks again to our guest, Katya Grace. John, usually at this point of the show, we have a few questions about the things we learned, and Katya certainly had interesting things to say, but let's pivot to dig into the paper she co-wrote in 2017 entitled, When Will AI Exceed Human Performance? Evidence for AI Experts.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's do it.
Cool. So to frame it up, first of all, the paper was published in 2017, so a little under 2 years ago now, but the questions are being framed from 2016. So that is the reference point for how the years scale into the future, and we'll see why that's relevant as we get into some of the data. And now, the survey methodology, she pulled, or her team, there's more people who were part of it than Katya, even though Katya is the first, is the lead author. They pulled all of the researchers who published at the 2015 conference on neural information processing systems and those who published at the 2015 International Conference on Machine Learning. There were 1,634 of those authors. 352 responded with a 21% response rate. So for those of you who are data heads, you have some sense of where they're coming from on the research methodology side. So digging in, one of the things we want to talk about is they asked about high-level machine intelligence, HLMI, very similar to artificial general intelligence. The definition of HLMI is that HLMI is achieved when unaided machines can accomplish every task better and more cheaply than human workers. And so the aggregate forecast of all of these respondents, that put the 50% chance of this occurring 45 years away. So by 2061, 45 years from 2016, that there's a 50% chance of HLMI being achieved, and machines can accomplish every task better and more cheaply than human workers. This seemed pretty soon and close to me. John, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, for me, the at least my understanding of how AI is being applied right now, there's a lot of advancement with narrow AI, and sort of artificial general intelligence is a much more difficult challenge. So this isn't exactly analogous. So, like, we're not talking about AGI here necessarily, which feels to me like it would be much, much farther away. In terms of having, you know, these narrow AI that can achieve human grade or better tasks, deployments right now are just they're not there. Just yet. So there are plenty of examples of narrow AI failing. Now, if you're talking about something like gaming, you know, as we've discussed many times, whether it's Go or chess or even poker now, sort of these very specific tasks, yes, you know, AI is doing great there. But there's lots of work to be done. So for me, this all seems like a sort of very, very hopeful predictions. And 2061, you know, is really not all that far away. So that feels a little close. I mean, bear in mind that this is a 50-50 shot, right? That they're giving it there. So, I would probably side with, the 50% that, you know, it's not going to happen that soon, just sort of based on where we are now. There are all kinds of factors that could, lead particular instantiations of narrow AI to be very effective. I think, you know, for things like facial recognition, you know, there are already, you know, plenty of advancements. For very sort of specific applications in healthcare, perhaps, but I don't think you're going to get that broad applicability that is hinted at there, or sorry, not even hinted at. I mean, sort of explicitly laid out. So that's how I fall on it with my impression of it.
And me too. And so we think it will be longer. So what's interesting is the 10% chance. So the people who are most bullish, most think it will have the most aggressive pace of development, have it occurring in 9 years or by 2025. So the 10% chance is 2025, which seems totally disconnected from the speed of technology advance that we've witnessed over the past decades, where nothing has taken, you know, quantum leaps at the same pace and level as folks are that sort of 10% are predicting here.
Yeah, I think for that to occur, you would really need to see examples of it already in play right now. So you would need to, there would have to be examples in sort of every field of AI doing human level work, but in sort of limited deployment, right? And that's just not the case yet. So yes, there are deployments of AI across numerous industries, but they are not not to the point yet where they're human grade or better. If they are, then they also are having these failure rates, which you know are somewhat large and embarrassing. Especially, you know, there's some large deployments that are just failing completely, and presumably human beings would not fail at their job at that level. So we're not seeing it in the small pockets of, you know, successful examples that you'd want to see for a decade out, right? So technologies are sort of perfected and deployed and then scale, right? Or you know, are perfected over time. We're not seeing that just yet. So I don't think that's it's going to scale out in 10 years.
Yeah. And so interestingly, we're both pretty bearish on these, you know, these two data slices. And looking at the data overall, what Katya's team noticed was that North Americans, which we qualify as, made the slowest predictions. We are part of the geographic group that was most bearish on the progress. Asians thought it would be fastest. They had the most aggressive, in general, prediction of when these things would happen with other geographic folks with other geographic location in between.
Well, North Americans are, or at least in our portion of North America, there's lots of early adopters around technologies that just fail all the time. So there you go. The early adopters are like, yeah, you're never going to use this. this thing is going to be a mess for a long time.
It's funny that that's how you looked at it, because that's true, and you're right about how we have experienced the failed commercialization of technology over and over and over in these decades. The way I thought of it, though, was about cities. You know, sort of our crown jewel city is a city like New York, with a lot of buildings that are, you know, I mean, the Empire State Building is sort of the iconic building of New York City, and that's, you know, coming up on 100 years old now, right? When you think about the great cities of Asia, they're new, they're 21st century cities. So there's a you know, there's a zeitgeist where the future feels more more current in a lot of ways, to me at least, in Asia, and the folks there who are making these predictions similarly seem to have a more bullish perspective on how quickly this future is going to come.
Yeah, sure sounds that way.
So a subset of respondents were asked a similar question that emphasized consequences for employment. So the question defined full automation of labor as when all occupations are fully automatable. That is, when for any occupation, machines could be built to carry out the tasks better and more cheaply than human workers. So it's one that you and I have talked about before, John. I don't think we've done it on this show, but I suspect we will at some point, is plumbers. Having a single machine come in and replace a plumber is way, way off because of the diversity of physical tasks a plumber has to do, because of the sort of critical thinking skills to diagnose problems based on experience in extremely different locations and situations. I would suspect that some jobs like that are the very last ones to go. And so the respondents in this case, their aggregate forecast put the 50% chance 122 years away. So by 2138, which really sounds far away, we're going to be long dead. that at that point, for any occupation, machines could be built to carry out the task better and more cheaply than human workers. What do you think about that prediction?
Right. So I have a lot of thoughts on this particular set of projections. Let's start off with your plumber example. So I don't think plumbers are ever going away, period. So the only way I see plumbing going away, or plumbers going away, is not because there's a robot that comes in and does the plumbing. It's because plumbing is no longer necessary, right? So there's some, you know, you've got like the still suit from Dune or something, where you're just wearing a second skin and it's hydrating you and you use the bathroom in a different way now. Like it's going to be like, we don't need what plumbing does.
We're not a sci-fi show, John.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, we're not getting rid of plumbers. Like there's no way that you're going to have a robot that's going to come in and do all those things. It might be close. And sure, for like 3D printing, you know, there's going to be 3D printing construction bots and all those things that are going to make it possible to do sort of new fittings of plumbing with automation. But once you get into existing infrastructure, which is, I mean, we have water lines under Boston that are, you know, they've got to be, you know, decades, if not, you know, 100 years old, that blow when it gets too cold, right? Yeah. Like, there's infrastructure that's not going away.
Well, not going away soon. It might go away by 2138, frankly, but it's not going away.
Yeah, good luck with that. Ripping up all of Boston by 2138. Have you, like, the big dig, right? I mean, come on.
What did Boston look like in 1897, though? Right? I mean, that's a long time.
It is. I mean, I wonder what's sitting around left over from that. I think plumbing will go away before plumbers. That's just my thought there. So, I think if these are technology only predictions, like, could you have a robot that does this? Right, then fine. Like, by 2138, you could have a robot that does anything, you know, any job. It's possible. Okay, fine. I just don't think that that's going to be deployed in any meaningful way, right? So, yes, you could have a robot nurse. Fine, but you know, it's going to be so expensive and so difficult to deploy that only sort of the plutocrats will have them, right? And everybody else will have nurses. So as a technology statement, maybe. And it also sort of, I don't think, takes into account all the sort of different kinds of new jobs that will be coming along. I mean, we've talked about how educational coaching is going to be sort of a job that becomes more important over time as technologies get more complicated and people have to switch careers more quickly. There's all kinds of new jobs that are going to be created as a result of AI becoming more part of our economy. So I don't even think we know what all the jobs will be. So to have them already sort of covered by automation feels a little premature.
First of all, I agree with your points in general, like the skin that you know takes away our fluids, so we don't need a plumber. Not so much, but the rest of the things you're talking about, I'm nodding my head. I'm agreeing with. But 2138 is a long time ago. Like, if you go back 122 years from today, it was horse and buggy time, right? It was telegraph time. It was really crummy, you know, early electric light time. Mm-hmm. The world has really changed. So I'm going to say, this wasn't supposed to be our predictions, but, you know, to me, that feels achievable. I might come down on the side that thinks it happens by then or earlier, just because it's a long time and technology is accelerating so quickly. Things are changing faster now than they did 122 years ago. And so it's compounding. And there are issues, and the things that you raised are all valid. But it feels like it's possible. What doesn't feel possible is the 10% chance of it occurring, according to these respondents, is 20 years from that point, which is 2036, which is silly, right?
Yeah, that seems silly. And just as a parting thought on all that, plumbers have been around since Rome, so that's a couple thousand years. I think they're pretty safe.
Fair enough. Let's pivot. So they had also a timeline of median estimates for AI achieving human performance across a whole bunch of different jobs. Let's maybe break them down in terms of time horizon. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, great. So first, there were some that are 25 or more years away to varying degrees. And that feels far enough out to not spend a whole lot of time on, but let's at least touch on them and talk a little. So those are AI researcher, 25 or more years away, all human tasks. So not a full job, but like a super specific task, like, you know, typing writing a headline would be examples of tasks as opposed to jobs. Math research, surgeon, the Putnam Math Competition, so winning this very prestigious math competition, and writing a New York Times bestseller. Those are all 25 years or more.
Yeah, so that last one, the New York Times bestseller, I think might be quicker, just based on the fact that we're not talking about the AI understanding what it's doing, right? Like it's not like the AI has to understand what made it a New York Times bestseller. It just has to write one. And so there's already sort of rudimentary AI programs that are generating poetry or, you know, some really oddball fiction. I would fully expect that this sort of data mining slash pattern recognition slash sort of reassembly is going to be possible. Sort of earlier than that, and I guess the criteria for that, of course, is that, you know, enough people would be interested in reading it. If you look at the analogs in the art world, sort of the next Rembrandt project, which we'd like to talk about, is a good example of that that training plus sort of algorithmic reconstruction of something that that resembles a master's work, and then in this case, printing out using a 3D printer a portrait that looks like Rembrandt could have painted it. I think you could do something similar if you trained on sort of masterworks of literature, or even on a more basic level, like the thrillers or mysteries or whatever it is that, you know, is sort of on the New York Times bestseller list. I think with a big enough data set, you could train up an AI to generate something pretty interesting before, you know, the 25 year horizon.
Yeah, you know, I actually think most of those will be achieved inside of 25 years. The all human tasks is the one that sort of stands out as not, you know, I don't think that will be, but the research and math things, I think probably will actually. The surgeon, I actually think will too, because you're talking about precision. You're talking about it can be given very specific procedural instructions. You know, that feels achievable. And then the New York Times bestseller, for some reasons you mentioned before. So when it's coming down to these specific things, for me, they're actually feeling like that, you know, inside of those predictions.
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, in agreement there, and not in sort of universal deployment, but in the technology being available and possible. I don't know that we're all going to have robot surgeons. But yeah. I do think there's going to be at least one robot surgeon within 25 years.
Yeah, and which to the point of the research, that's all that they're saying.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, so let's now flip and go from sort of the things that are closest to the things that are nearing more of the 25 or more years. So between 0 and 5 years, as of 2017 when this paper was published, Angry Birds, they said, would be defeated by an AI, and the World Series of Poker would be defeated by an AI. And defeating the World Series of Poker, what it means is having a poker-playing AI that's good enough that it's capable of winning the World Series of Poker. So one of those things has been achieved already, and it's the World Series of Poker. We've talked about that on the show. There is AI that can play poker better than the best humans. Of course, the World Series of Poker is a tournament. It has, you know, there's actually many tournaments within it, but the main event, the big one, has thousands of entrants. Even if you play perfectly, there is a lot of luck involved. So this isn't necessarily saying that an AI would win it, but an AI is certainly capable of it. If you were putting your money on a poker player in the field or that AI in the field, today you'd pick the AI. Whereas Angry Birds still has not been solved. And this is something that AI researchers are working on. You can learn more at AIbirds.org, but as of now, it hasn't been defeated. And the website, in fact, says AI still has no chance against humans, which is interesting too.
Yeah. I wonder if the guy who, you know, when they first started Angry Birds, if they imagined they would be in the next AI, the next game to be targeted, right? So you've got chess, you got Go, you got poker. And then, of course, Angry Birds is the outlier where AI can't figure it out. Classic.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So yeah, I'm surprised Angry Birds couldn't be figured out. I was going to just say on the show, yeah, these other games have been figured out. So I'm sure Angry Birds could as well. But once I researched it, I discovered not. I'd love to know and understand that better and why from an expert. If we ever extend this season or see an editorial place for that, I'd love to hear why Angry Birds is a hard challenge for AI.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, a game that our kids like.
Right. So taking the time horizon out a little bit. So between 5 and 10 years, you know, AI will achieve human performance, you know, according to the median estimates of these respondents in a bunch of things. So we'll go through these one at a time because there's a bunch. So folding laundry, that's more on the robotics side. Seems like it could be possible. It's all about if the right robotics things fall into place.
It's a difficult task. So yeah, that's one of the sort of classic challenges that's difficult to do. And knowing how much I love to fold laundry, boy, that a laundry folding robot, that would be better than the Roomba, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yes, it sure would. The next one is StarCraft, the game StarCraft. So it's already been beaten in, you know, less than 3 years after this research was done. StarCraft has been defeated, and the median was between 5 and 10 years away. So it's the first of what will be a number of examples on the list that have already, you know, been achieved.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, StarCraft is one of my favorites. So, I guess it's not that hard for an AI to figure out.
Yeah. And, you know, with some others that have been figured out, transcribing speech, you know, Google already has cloud speech to text that is doing that. So, you know, big companies conspicuously have done that in ways that anyone can use. Translate as compared to an amateur human. So I wasn't entirely clear on what their criteria is, because my impression was this had already been achieved even when the research was done. So I'm not sure what to say on that.
Yeah, that's there's certainly examples of AI translation. Maybe it's not to the grade of human though.
Right, right. And so some of these are just, you know, our criteria that we aren't necessarily qualified to comment on. And so maybe we can just share them more, like the telephone banking operator. Again, in certainly we've all dealt with automated operators for a really long time, but there's a level of complexity here that we don't necessarily understand or are expert in. Assemble any Lego was one, which Whoa. Is interesting, because I know we have children who play with Legos, you and I. Those are some complex kits with different size pieces. 5 to 10 years, what do you think?
Jeez, yeah, that feels unachievable. Also, I'd like a robot that picks up the Legos after it's done, so you don't step on them. Yeah, that seems like a tough one to me. And I think part of this and part of the uniqueness of this this research is, you know, it does let you examine these, you know, sort of complex everyday tasks that we take for granted, you know, examine them from the perspective of AI and robotics. So I would think a complicated task for a robot and a complicated task for dad when you're trying to help out the kids.
Yeah. All Atari games is another, and that's one, like Angry Birds, I sort of would have taken for granted was already beaten. If you can beat StarCraft, you can certainly beat Atari games, but, you know, maybe not. Maybe there's more complexity there. Read text aloud, text to speech. And the last one is write a high school essay, which I don't know in its specificity if it's already been achieved, but certainly as we're going to talk about in season two, writing longer than an essay length at a level above high school has been achieved. So I think we can already give that to the AI. And again, that was 5 to 10 years out. I think it happened within a year or two of this research being done.
Yeah, that's notable. On the writing side, the AI advancements are coming faster than you would think. And that's notable, especially for like journalism or editing or any of those areas of employment, I think are going to be affected probably sooner than we think.
Absolutely. So the final time horizon here is sort of between 10 and 15 years. So explain own actions in games. That seems like it will definitely be achieved, because that's just a matter of sort of reverse engineering the reasons why it's happening, and then articulating it. It certainly seems hard today, but 10 and 15, 15 years, that's a ways out. And the games are already winning. It's just making it so that it can explain. That's not trivial, needless to say, but feels well within the arc of how these technologies are moving.
Yeah, that's an interesting prediction, just sort of based on the idea that we're going to want auditable AI systems. So it's notable that, I mean, they're talking about actions in games. We're also going to want those kinds of explanations across AI decision making. Obviously for auditing purposes and also for examination for bias, to sort of broaden that that category there.
Definitely. Generate top 40 pop song. That seems sort of easy and obvious at this point.
So without being too jaded, I think we could say that some top 40 pop songs already feel like they've been generated by...
No, John, you're not too jaded at all.
No, I mean, with the sort of caveat being that there is, a human being behind that vocoder processing, that's probably the most human part of the song. No, there's a formula for top 40 pop songs, and there are a number of software companies in the Boston area that are sort of dissecting music in amazing ways. Yeah. And these are the things that these are the algorithms that are powering your choice, your playlists on Pandora or Spotify or what have you. So I think that is, definitely achievable. Maybe, for some of us, the music will get better.
It certainly may. It certainly may. And we'll be talking a lot about music in season three when we're talking about form.
Excellent.
So the next one is Truck Driver. Truck Driver, again, asked and answered, already accomplished. They added it between 10 and 15 years. It just took, I think within a year of when this was done. That's an example of a field, automated, automated vehicles that has moved really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's still obviously being developed, but yeah, the potential has been realized there. It's an active technology.
5 kilometer race in city. That seems like it's going to happen much sooner. I'm sure it's more complicated than this, but the layman's take on it is you're taking the stuff that makes a self-driving car work and you're munging it together with some of the advanced robotics like that. The one that looks sort of like a lion or a dog from a couple years ago that already was able to run and maneuver, that feels really close, if not already possible, right?
Yeah, it does. There's a bit of complexity when you're talking about racing within a city, right? So, but it would seem to be achievable just sort of based on what's already been done with self-driving cars, although
or what will be done in the years ahead.
Yeah, for sure.
Because some people, of course, have been run over by self-driving cars.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately.
Next one is Go, with the same training as human. And, you know, that's one that's been accomplished, that's been achieved. That, again, took just a year or two, not 10 or 15 years. And the last one, sort of an interesting case, a retail salesperson. What do you think there, John?
So in some ways, you know, the AIs sort of already know us better than retail salespeople, if you're talking about our previous purchases and buying patterns. So I'm not sure what the criteria are for the evaluation for retail sales, if it's, you know, sort of the added complexity of a physical environment. But, you know, we've already have examples of completely automated grocery store experience. I think Amazon prototyped that in Seattle, where you just can sort of go in and purchase things just by sort of walking in and out of the store. You know, that combined with some recommendation engine, whether that's the one that drives Amazon or something else, I could see that sort of very easily replacing a retail salesperson once you have that infrastructure to create the grocery store or whatever it is you're selling, and then sort of the digital history of the things that you prefer to buy. I think that's a problem that's more or less been solved.
So yeah, a lot of interesting tasks and achievements across different time horizons. It feels on the whole like we think they're going to be faster, and maybe a lot faster, and in some cases have already proven themselves a lot faster than the experts predicted, you know, 2-3 years ago. What do you think about that, John?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to the types of tasks that AI is good at versus the ones that are sort of better handled by humans right now. So AI technology is moving a lot more quickly in certain areas, because these are the areas that where it's sort of overachieving. So, you know, in the areas where there's a combination of expertise plus sort of the physical elements to apply that expertise, that's where AI is not going to do so well. And so in areas like games, you know, a very sort of narrow set of rules, AI, you know, really kills it there, which is why you see a lot of games being sort of checked off the list, with Angry Birds, of course, being the exception so far. But
don't forget Atari games, John.
Yeah. Whereas if you're looking at things like nursing tasks, for instance, AI may have the knowledge base, but is not going to be able to apply those in different physical situations. So I think as we learn more about what AI does well, we'll have a better idea of how fast these things can be deployed. But my guess is that AI is going to overachieve in certain areas that are favorable to a sort of a narrow application, and underachieve in others that have that expertise plus physical element to it.
Well, it's going to be fun to dive into these specifics in much more depth as we carry on with the seasons and see how it really impacts all kinds of different creatives, including ourselves.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be quite an adventure.
So each episode, we finish up with a thing to think about, one question germane to what's been covered on the show. You know, this episode is the last one of the season, of course. So maybe stepping back from the episode and looking at the season as a whole. And so this season's thing to think about is, how do you imagine artificial intelligence will intersect with your own personal learning and development in the future? Think about that for yourself, and feel free to tweet at us about it at GoCreativeNext. Creative Next is sponsored by GoInvo, a design practice dedicated to innovation in healthcare whose clients are as varied as AstraZeneca, 3M Health Information Services, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Learn more at goinvo.com. We're also sponsored by Design Museum Foundation, a new kind of museum. They believe design can change the world. They're online, nomadic, and focused on making design accessible to everyone. Their mission, bring the transformative power of design everywhere. You can learn about their exhibitions, events, magazine, and more at designmuseumfoundation.org. Our final sponsor is BIF. As a purpose-driven firm, BIF is committed to bringing design strategy where it is needed most, healthcare, education, and public service, to create value for our most vulnerable populations. To learn more and connect, visit them at biff.is, that's biff.is. Please subscribe to Creative Next on Apple Podcasts. You can also find us at Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. You can get in touch with us at the Creative Next website, creativenext.org, or follow us on Twitter at GoCreativeNext. On Medium, we are partnered with Towards Data Science, where we publish an article to extend and build upon each episode. Check out all that Towards Data Science has to offer at towardsdatascience.com. I'm Dirk Niemeyer, whom you can reach at dniemeyer, that's D-K-N-E-M-E-Y-E-R, and my partner in crime is Jonathan Follett, who is at John Follett, that's J-O-N-F-O-L-L-E-T-T. Our guest this episode is Katya Grace. You can reach her on her website, katyagrace.com. Tweet to us with questions, comments, topics, guest suggestions, and include the hashtag CreativeNext. And of course, the home base for everything we do is at creativenext.org. We recommend you sign up for our low-volume newsletter there. That's it for Season 1 of Creative Next. We've enjoyed taking this journey through learning with you, and we'll be returning soon with Season 2 of the show, talking about communication. Until then, for Jonathan Follett, I'm Dirk Niemeyer. Be well.